Hello and welcome to In The Back Pocket. It is first round of the season. Opening round has been done. It was a great experience. I think it was great. I liked it. Many people didn't. Thought there should have been a game on the Sunday. But these three superstars join me every week. Isaac Smith, four-time premiership star. That's a nice green shirt. But you made your media debut last week for Triple M and it took you 4 minutes 40 to say a word. Kate was doing all the heavy lifting on Triple M. You had nothing to say.
Well, Nathan...
Mate, you're not paid per word.
Well, I should be. But Nathan, you understand with these callers, you're one of them, that you like to say a lot of words and I just couldn't jump in.
Right. Who was the problem?
Kate,
and you did all the heavy lifting.
Yeah, I did. Isaac was fantastic. Great to work with him, and obviously seeing him again really supported me through some illness that I experienced on the Thursday as well by sending photos of me sick to the group chat.
Very sick.
So
yeah.
Thanks, in the Uber. Isaac, always got my back.
That's disappointing. Yeah. Okay, and you, Kane Corns, everybody, the volcano. You had a bit of an issue on the flight this morning. Well, you demanded to be moved from your seat from Adelaide to Melbourne. And eventually they said, okay, Mr. Corns, you're going to go up the front.
That is not true, but it's a question for the three of you. If you have an aisle seat and someone comes and sits next to you in the middle and they ask you for your aisle seat, do you oblige or do you hold firm?
You hold firm.
Yeah, because I like the aisle. I like to stick my leg out.
You don't then crack it and go, I demand to be moved up the front.
The lovely people at Virgin, because it was quite full, came and got me and I'm a reasonably frequent flyer. They upgraded me to business, which was nice.
So you're saying you didn't lose your marbles?
No. Very held my nerve.
Virgin would look after you because you gave it to Qantas last year.
That's
you
it.
Questioned the CEO and he was gone a month later.
I got him sacked, Alan Joyce. He was gone.
Poor old Joycey. Okay, let's get straight into it because the premiership market has changed and we have a new outright leader in Greater Western Sydney. So Brisbane and Collingwood just behind that. No big other moves, to be honest. Sydney around the same. Melbourne drifted a little bit, but the Greater Western Sydney at the moment are the favourites. Are you happy with that?
And rightly so. I mean, all facets of their game are covered. The only interesting thing, is that they don't get home now until round 10. So they're on the road for a long time, but last year that didn't faze them.
Yeah, and I think that just stresses the importance of that win over Collingwood. Obviously, probably the best time of the year to get the defending premiers when you've been out sort of the round before, so you've got an extra week on them. But yeah, 10 rounds, wow. So they're on the road till round 10, something that Collingwood wouldn't know much about themselves, but that's going to be tough.
They played four games too. The Brownlow middle market's had a bit of a shake-up. Matty Rowe, the grass eater, has come into $17. Nick Dacos was five out the six. Bont's always been the 10. Tom Green been a bit of a mover as well, but the old grass seed, it's working well for him in the off-season.
Yeah, well, Kane put him on notice on the show last week, so it's good to see that he got, what was the second in all-time record for clearances or something like that?
It was
a crazy performance, and he played to his strength, and I think Dimmer's obviously instilled that in him, so it'll be interesting to see how he goes this season, but he started well.
You're the most recent out of the game. So four teams have played, they get to play again. Eight teams have played and they get to play again this week. Is it an advantage to have that first game up?
I think it is. It'll be hard for the Melbourne that played in the northern states because that'll be hot. So it'll be interesting to see how they bounce. But to play an AFL home and away season intensity has to set them up well, especially for the starter games. They might slow up a little bit towards the end of a game, but they should start well this week.
I just thought it made sense if in the second week, first round, those four teams played each other. So they just reshuffled the fixtures so that everyone that was playing was on an equal playing field. They'd either played one round or they hadn't played at all. And I feel like maybe if we keep it next year, that should be round one, the four teams that play the same sort of fixture so that works out a little bit more fairly in case there is a little bit of an advantage from those teams.
Are you jumping on this Melbourne inequity, not Melbourne Football Club, but Melbourne coaches? Chris Scott piped up this week about the inequity in the draw.
I wouldn't say it's unequal, but I feel like it does take those questions around. It takes them out of it. So they can't really complain if you're playing an opposition that's only played one game or you're playing an opposition that hasn't played at all. So it stops that.
So they're moving the grand final.
Hey, last week, Kane, you put Brody Grundy on notice on this show. So he's off the rank. You wanted to have a crack at somebody. You thought you'd get an easy kill with Brody Grundy, but he turned up. Probably played his best game in 5 years.
Well, that's the power of putting someone on notice. He hadn't played well for a couple of years, like consistently. So I wanted to see that. We saw it. We'll see if he can keep that up and it can continue. So I'm going to put another player on notice this week. And it's maybe not someone you would expect because he was excellent in opening round, and that's Harry Mackay.
Oh.
So kick three, everyone gave him his flowers. His teammates supported him. How good's this? He kicked accurately. He kicked the match winner. let's do it for a little bit longer than one game. You kick three goals, terrific. But the best forwards, Jeremy Cameron, Tom Hawkins, even Jesse Hogan now, consistently do that. He hasn't done that. Kick three goals a game, that's 60, mid-60s for the year. That's where he should be. That's what he's paid to be. And I think that's the influence he needs to have more consistently than what he's done in the last 12 months.
And Grundy texted in, he says he's a big fan of In the Back Pocket. So
it's a hard taskmaster. Poor old Harry, he's just been obliterated the last 24 months. He has a good game, gets him over the line, and you want to clip him.
Do it again. I'm not clipping him. I just think you are paid $1 million. You are paid in the elite category. You're a big forward. You're in your prime. Carlton needs you. You're going to come up against a really poor defence in Richmond on the weekend. They're undermanned. They're undersized. Do it again. Kick me four or five this week. So he's on notice.
Let's get to that game because they are undermanned in their back end, the Richmond Footy Club. Carlton, short price favourites, as we know. Nankervis, Dustin Martin, Tom Lynch all come back. They're big inclusions, but it's hard to see Richmond on what was offered up last week beating the Blues.
Yeah, especially that first half performance. So conceded, I think, in a period of 11 minutes, five goals. So they can't be that inconsistent again and start on the back foot like that against Carlton, who we saw also didn't start too strongly, but were able to fight their way back into the game. And I don't think they'll be as bad as they were at the start of last week. A concern, obviously, just that defensive unit, how they're going to sort of keep a handle on those big keys at Carlton.
We're not sure how long Sam Walsh is going to be out for, but that means the other midfielders need to step up. And George Hewitt and also Chera, more George Hewitt. His numbers outside when Sam Walsh doesn't play are quite good. 22, 28, 23, 28, 19 and 33 when he doesn't play. So Hewitt steps up. Cripps played a little bit in the ruck last week. He was terrific. It's hard to see Richmond, who don't defend that well through the midfield, not allowing a lot of ball to these Carlton midfielders.
There'll be a lot of ball, Brownie and Isaac. I think you're right in that. And I mean, Taranto and Hopper and Presti will probably get their fair share as well, but there won't be a lot of defensive accountability. So Hewitt, Chera, Cripps, you think get big numbers again through the midfield, and he'll be really important.
Paddy Cripps loves playing against Carlton. His last seven games against the Blues have been off the charts. Have a look at that. I mean, not one game has been a below
against
25.
He loves playing against Carlton.
He loves it. In the practice matches, he doubles are even better.
He's good in that. Internal shots. Yeah.
When he plays on Walsh in the intra-club, he's getting 40s. Good one, Isaac. Anyway, that's against Richmond. And a lot of those are in opening round, which this season, he'd be ready to go.
Yeah, I'm lost here. I'm still trying to work out who he's playing this week. But no, he was fantastic on the weekend. I'm really interested to see how both teams go. I don't think Carlton's performance was as good as what it looked like on TV. I feel like Brisbane took their foot off the pedal. And I don't feel like Richmond's was as bad. It wasn't great early, but once they got going, they worked their way into the game. So I'm really interested to see how the game goes.
You're sensing an upset here?
Well, I don't think it's going to be an upset, but you bring in Lynch, Nankervis, Martin, I feel like it's going to be a lot closer than we think.
Well, it's a feast at either end, isn't it? When you've got Mackay and Curnow and Tom Lynch.
Well, they were down 13 on the inside 50s, exactly that. It will be inside their forward 50 a lot for the Richmond Tigers. So I think Carlton need to make sure that they can't give away 13 more inside 50s to their opposition every week and expect to win the game. If Brisbane kick straight, they essentially should have won that game. Charlie Cameron missed a few from right in front. Big Joe, Big Eric have their fair share of clangers. So if they kick straight, they actually would have won that game.
Yeah, one man who's not a forward is Noah Bolter. I'm not sure why they're trying to turn him into a forward. I mean, for goodness sake, Tom Lynch is back. Noah Bolter has to go back and play on one of Mackay or Curnow. I watch him, he's erratic. He's inaccurate in front of goal. He does things that you go, gee, that was a strange thing to do on a football field. I think he's C-ball, straight line, defend, spoil. Much easier for him to play that role, but they seem pretty steadfast. Kaczynski's been dropped for the Tigers, so he probably plays forward again, which is a strange one for me.
Well, I think you've got to give benefit of the doubt to the Richmond coaching staff. They obviously were going into that game feeling pretty light on in the forward line. And they thought Bolt was the one they can throw down there. But they need to get him down back, shore that up.
They're just being stubborn, though, aren't they, if they keep him there?
Well, I don't think they will keep him there now. I feel like he'll move further back down the ground now that Lynch is back. They had, other than Bolter, they would have had zero focal point on the weekend. So they needed something down there. They would have hoped to win centre clearances, get the ball forward. That didn't happen because Captain Rao came flying through.
They look like they were slow on one pace through the midfield. And you've been as critical on Richmond midfielders as anybody. I don't understand why they don't play Shea Bolton more through the midfield. And it doesn't have to be for 15 or 20 minutes a quarter. It can be bursts of 5 minutes because he's such a good clearance contested player and then he moves forward. I think any half forward who plays that role is hard. But if you can get a run or a blowout in the midfield, it just helps you. It helps your team for class and pace like that. Even Rioli to go through the midfield. I know Adam Uze doesn't want to change everything first round, but those sort of players with a bit of run and carry through the midfield are a must.
They look one pace, didn't they? Because when you put Prestia, Hopper and Taranto, that is one pace. So to mix it up with Bolton, who in 2022, his numbers were extraordinary. So high possession, high goal, high impact. Now, he wasn't that last year. Kicked three on the weekend, but I think from eight possessions. So I'd love to see him spend some more time on ball. And I'd love to see Dustin Martin as well spend some time on ball.
Let's make the punter some money.
Yeah, well, I've gone for value for this same game multi. Ooh. So we've got Carlton 1-39. I don't think it'll blow out. I think it'll be a tight game. George Hewitt, 20-plus disposals. We spoke about no Walsh again. So high above his career average of 19 when Walsh doesn't play. Had the 27 last week. Jaden Short, this one's the touch and go.
Had 25. Eight kickouts last week.
Yeah, so that's where I feel like he might get sort of up over that 25. It's going to be, that one is going to be the touch and go. And I think Tom Lynch, I think I'm putting him down for a goal in the first
Early.
Quarter. So I reckon he'll start strong. He potentially will be on managed minutes because he's coming back from such a long-term injury. So I reckon he's going to start strong and kick a goal in the first quarter.
Get the Tigers up and about early. Going to be good.
Managed minutes is interesting. Like, either play or don't play. Like, if you're not fit, you're not fit. So they're saying that they're going to come in and manage his minutes and they'll have to look after him. That's a strange one.
So who's on notice? Tom Lynch or the Richmond staff?
The Richmond coaching staff feels like a panic move to play him before he's ready.
Ooh.
Hasn't played for 12 months, limited pre-season. If you're not ready, you're not ready.
I disagree with the managed minutes. I think someone of that star power, they've got no focal point. You want to move Bolter back, you need someone there. If you can manage his minutes and manage his game time, which on any given day there'd be five or six players in a team that are on managed minutes, I think...
It's the midfielders that need managed minutes, though. The key position players at either end, they get their rest. Don't they? Surely they have to stay
out
there.
Good point he makes. What do you got for that?
Does he play full forward or centre forward? Is he playing up
full
the ground?
I think, but also I think the way that the game sort of is moving now, full forwards and centre half forwards, they do get all the way up the ground.
Mm.
They're not sitting in the goal square, standing there for the ball to then transition down and their chest out to the kicker. So I think both of you have good points, but I think the role of a full forward and a centre half forward now has changed with their coverage of the ground and the Ks that they're actually clocking.
Unless you're Tomahawk.
Yeah.
And you don't leave the screen.
No.
unprecedented, a double on notice in the first segment for the same game for the two big forwards. Can't wait to see that 80-odd thousand at the MCG. We're going to talk about the Pies and the Swans coming up next. Hello and welcome to In the Back Pocket, Friday Night Football, Collingwood, Sydney. We've got Isaac Smith, Kate McCarthy, Kane Corns, a bit of a premiership hangover talk around Collingwood. I'm not buying into it. I think the Pies will be just fine.
I think they'll be fine too. They need to sharpen up, and that can happen early on when you've had a shorter pre-season off the premiership. They're unveiling the flag as well on Friday night. It's a special occasion. Just defensively, I thought they were poor. So are they guarding the mark? Are they doing the 1% as well? Are they killing the ball in the air? They didn't do that against GWS and it cost them.
It was interesting to see Lee Matthews' comments during the week around Collingwood possibly looking back. The grand final review that they had leading into round zero. But to me, there's no hangover. I think GWS are a very good football side. They've had to go up to Sydney and play them and GWS got the better of them.
And I think inside 50, they had some struggles. Obviously, their goal kicking wasn't as efficient as we've come to expect from Collingwood, but they still had 21 tackles inside 50, which is the most they've had since 2021 in any game. So that shows the hunger's still there. Their smalls are getting to work. It was just finishing off. They weren't quite able to put the polish on top of it.
Isaac Heaney played a fair bit through the midfield. They were a couple of midfielders down, but 58% of centre bounces he attended.
Yeah, I was big on this at the end of last year and big on it again this year. I feel like last year Sydney hung him out to dry a little bit, left him forward too much. And as we know in the game, you probably found it, Brownie, when you were playing, you can get stale down there, especially if the ball isn't coming in the way you want it. It'll be interesting to see what they do when they get their big three back. that are all injured at the moment. But Heaney has to have at least 5-10 minute spurts a quarter through that midfield. He's too good of a player. They're paying him too much money to be the star of that club, not to have massive impact on the game. And he was huge. And
such a good clearance player.
He is, because he's big. And he's the difference for them, because their other midfielders are quite small. We'll speak about Gordon in a minute. Warner's quite slight. McInerney, these types of players are slight. So he gives you that bigger body. But Collingwood's midfield need to play better. I mean, Mitchell was subbed out of the game, could nearly hardly touch it. Pendlebury was good in the second half, but two possessions in the first half, and DeGoey was quiet. I thought the Giants did a really good job on him at stoppage. So what sort of response are we going to get from Collingwood's midfield up against a very good unit in
Heaney,
Sydney?
Heaney, $1.51 to get 20-plus disposals.
Just on Heaney, I know they recruited to find Adams and a big-bodied midfielder. Was a big-bodied midfielder sitting right in their forward line the entire season of 2023? They didn't look to him. They looked elsewhere. Now they've kind of got, oh, we found one, but we've also got one in. How are we going
to
manage this?
Not a bad problem to have, though. And I still think they'll use him forward at times, because can you rely on Amati and Logan McDonald to kick you three or four a game? Probably not. So Heaney will have to play forward at times.
Teddy loves the space of the MCG. On the wings has been Errol Goulden. His last three there have been outstanding.
Yeah, he has been really good. So 37, 31 and 23, all in big games, two round 17 and the elimination final. So the bigger the game, the better he performs, as we saw late last year. He was a little bit quiet in the first half of last week, came into fruition in that third term, and really as they started to kick away, he got more and more on top of the D's midfielders. Had only had the 20. The thing that sort of caught my attention, just two clearances from those 13 centre bounce attendants, but Heaney obviously had 13 himself, so if one's getting them, you don't need to. So I'd expect him to put in a good performance at the G.
Same game, Moldy, for all those tracking it out there. Maybe on fire early in the season, but Dacos, anytime goal scorer, he might go forward playing midfield more minutes. And then I think they give up a lot of disposals, both these sides. So DeGoey 20, Warner 20, and Errol out in that wing, 25-plus disposals. So that's Friday night football. Let's go to Essendon up against Hawthorn. And this is an interesting game. They're expecting 75,000 at the MCG on Saturday for this game. This is an absolute ripper. The Essendon Football Club haven't played or haven't won a final for a long, long time, as we know, but very important to get away to a good start.
It is. It's huge, Essendon, but I think Brad Scott probably came out in the last few days and mentioned that without being in a rebuild phase, they're in a rebuild phase. So I think Essendon are in this funny pattern at the moment where I think their fans want finals, their fans are demanding finals, their fans expect they should be in finals. I think the coach and the club have different ideas at the moment, and they're looking long term to try and build a really good side.
Do they know where they're at? Like, because if I'm Merritt, if I'm Parrish, if I'm Shiel, if I'm McGrath, I'm going, hey, I'm not in a holding pattern. I'm not in a rebuild phase. We've got some young players in Perkins and Jones and Durham, Martin, who have played enough footy now, but we're ready to go. We've recruited Mackay and
should
Gretchen
be able to compete.
And Dersma. Like, finals is now. They went overseas and got themselves fit. So I think those senior players are going, no. So I don't know if the club themselves are on the same page with where they're at and where they should be at. And then the fans are a separate issue. They've had enough.
Brad Scott knows where they're at. He's seen enough footy.
Or is he just taking the expectation off himself?
I think that's exactly
what he's doing. Well, I think they need to lower their expectation, because I don't think finals, if they make it, they're just going to sneak in. I don't think they'll do any damage. But yeah, I just think that they're 2, 3, 4 years away from actually producing.
Why should they be further back than Adelaide or St Kilda or GWS last year, who come off finishing 16th? So maybe you don't know when your time is right. They've got 12 top 10 draft picks on their list. They've recruited 4 experienced players, paid big money for Mackay. So I just think it's a bit of a cop-out with the language that they've
I think they've got a list that should be expected to play finals. The amount of young players they've got, the amount of talent they've got, I think if I was at Essendon, I would expect to play finals of that list.
Yeah, who's going to kick all their goals?
Well, Kyle Langford was very good last year, big but 2 metre
you
Peter.
You can't trust on Kyle Langford to kick you 50, 60 goals a year.
Jake, I think he can
Jake
kick
Stringer's
50.
Been a...
He should kick a lot, but he's inconsistent. Do you truly believe they should be playing finals?
I haven't got them playing finals, but internally, the language out of the club, they're on a different page to where they should be.
All right, let's talk about playing against them, because they give up big numbers to halfbacks and wingers last year. So that brings Carl Amon into play, who's been really good since he's gone to Hawthorn. His numbers, that's his last 5 games at the MCG. So when you're thinking about betting, you don't often have Carl Amon in the same game Moldy, but if he's doing that every week for 20-plus disposals, Carl Amon has to go in there.
Yeah, and we're not talking about sort of, I guess, impact on the game here. He just chalks up his disposals, goes about it pretty easily, no fuss. But if you're looking at a same game multi and looking for his disposals, he's definitely one that's reliable.
And the other one you need to look at this week is the small forwards of the Hawks. So obviously Jack Ginnivan's gone there. You've got Dylan Moore, who there's been a bit of doubt whether he plays. He's had glandular fever, but that's his last six games. So he's very consistent for one goal, and he's a good price to kick a goal at any time. You've got Watson down there if he plays as well. But Jack Ginnivan, very good price. $2.50 to kick two plus. He's your man.
Good value. And the Wizard Watson as well. He'll play. I mean, they're going to unleash him, pick five, I think he was, and really clever. Was inaccurate in the preseason, but I think he kicks two plus goals on debut as well. And they're in a rebuild phase, Hawthorne. I can cop that, but they're going to be exciting to watch for these reasons. And your old teammate Sam Mitchell has a nice game style where he does like to play with some flair and bring the ball through.
Is he more likable as a coach than a player? Because when I played against Sam Mitchell, I didn't like him. He had that head that you wanted to hit. But now as a coach, I can see what he's doing. I like him more as a coach than I did as a player.
Well, I think because he's innovative and he's challenging the status quo of the game, I really like what Hawthorn are doing. Whether as a supporter, I wouldn't want them to do well this year. I want them to get the best talent available because I still feel...
Tank.
Beg your pardon?
You want them to tank?
No, I don't want them to tank. I just don't want
them to... sort of what you said.
Well, no, what you're saying is you think they're actually going to perform quite well this year. I'd rather them perform worse because there's more talent available and I still think they've got lots of holes
it's
in their list.
Tanking, basically.
Yeah, I think they'll be an exciting watch. I don't necessarily expect them to finish anywhere higher than 15th.
And we're talking about their small forwards. We've forgotten the best of all of them, who should have been All-Australian last year on the amount of inside...
Luke Bruce.
Yes. Yeah. Still think he's the premier small forward in the competition. He's tackling, he's goal kicking, he's game sense.
Just quickly on Sam Mitchell and the point you were making. So I was at the Hawks when he sort of just started, and we'd obviously just started as their female program there. And the way that he has worked the culture at that club, he is just... he's all in all aspects of it. So he welcomed us in. He came to so many of our training sessions. I've been at other clubs where we haven't seen the men's senior coach. And it was just fantastic to have that respect. But you can see he has that respect for everyone at the club, whether they work in the administration, whether they're a male, a female player, whether they're support staff. And I think he's really developed that throughout the club. And I think that's why he's made such a strong impact at that club.
Nice, Sam Mitchell, doing some good things. Before we get a tip, how have you found the producing of this show? Because I noticed in backstage you were giving the producers just some pointers on where they should be focusing the camera when it was. So you're on air, but you're also doing some off-air work.
Yeah, well, Jay Clark stepped out this year and I've stepped in. So I just thought I need to take up that and make sure the show is running smoothly and everything's going well.
Hopefully the feedback
are you happy with it?
Well supported by the producers as well. Quick tip from all of you.
I'm going to go Essendon.
Hawthorn.
I think the Bombers will win this one first up. Going to be an absolute ripper. Plenty more still to come with Isaac, Kate and Kane. Hello and welcome to In the Back Pocket. It's the stand-up version. We've got Kane Corns, Isaac Smith. You spent the last 5 minutes figuring out what to do with your hands while we're standing up. And what did you finish up doing?
Well, Kane said the weather presenters used to hold their thumb, or still do. So I've gone the thumb hold. The pocket was a bit relaxed and not sure about this one.
And the arms folded was a bit aggressive. So I think that's okay.
You happy with it?
Yeah, natural.
Okay, the Giants, they start this round as the favourite for the flag after they beat the Pies last week. They got the Kangaroos. I thought had a pretty good off-season.
Tough first up for the Kangaroos, isn't it? And the thing I like about the Giants is that they won without a huge influence from Toby Green.
Yep.
So he could be in for a big day, but their forwards, led by Jesse Hogan, got a hold of them last week against Collingwood.
He's been good, hasn't he, Jesse Hogan? His numbers, particularly at Giants Stadium, are pretty good. And then they found Callum Brown, who's back end of last year. You probably should have seen this coming, Callum Brown, but here's his numbers. The last four games at Giants Stadium, obviously a big one there. He kicked 9, but he kicked 4 on the weekend, 4 back in round 17, and a couple in round 21. So his output has been good. And when Toby Green doesn't stand up or doesn't win the game for them, it's good to know that these two guys, along with Brown, can do it.
Yeah, I just wonder if they're a little bit too tall. So they got Riccardi, Cadman, Hogan and Brown. So whether one of those gets squeezed out, probably Riccardi, because I did really like Aaron Cadman. I mean, his second quarter, he showed that the reason why he was the number one draft pick. He looks a little bit like Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah, he was super impressive. But Brown, that blew me away. I thought He had a really strong game. They do have an interesting mix, but they've got so much depth that I think they're just going to throw different looks at different oppositions.
Quick word on the Kangas. I like the preseason they've had.
You know, I don't mind them, Brownie. I think they'll surprise a few. If they can get to 7 or 8 wins, I think that will be a pass mark for them. They'll get opened up a little bit. They're trying to play attacking fast footy, which will hurt them at times, but I think they're on the right track.
Cats and the Saints, they operate the new stadium down there. Isaac, 1 year too late. It's going to be good. It's going to be big. The Cats are going to love it. Max Holmes is their number one, though, at the moment. The number one midfielder that they want to stand up, potentially a million-dollar player.
Yeah, well, other than Patrick Dangerfield, he's the one with the explosion and star power who can take the game on and take it to an opposition. The other midfielders in there are really good players, but they're just your collect possessions, lots of tackles. So I'm really interested to see how he's going to go. It's really exciting, the new stand, 40,000 there. It'll be massive, but my big watch this game is Big Jezza.
So do you two have the Cats finishing in the top 8 this season?
I do, Brownie. I think they play 9 games at GMHBA. It's a hard place to win, as you know. So look, they'll get those 9 games. They play a lot of games at the MCG. I think the improvement, the longer pre-season, and when you've still got Hawkins, Cameron, Dangerfield, and I really like De Koning, it's a pretty good spine.
The Cats without Isaac Smith, do they make it?
Yeah, they make it. And what probably got underestimated a little bit last year was the injuries and the loss of confidence with certain players. Stengel breaks his arm, he lost confidence. Reece Stanley got a really bad eye injury. Sam De Koning fractured his face, and that took him a long time to get confidence back from that. Jack Henry was out a hell of a lot, and to me, he's one of the most important players down there.
They got enough through the midfield without Guthrie?
That's their one question mark. Forward, back and front half, they're really strong at either end. It's just, do they have enough depth coming through? And hopefully Bruin and Clark can add that depth.
You keep telling me about Conway.
Yeah.
Are they going to unleash Conway? Or are we still going to play Reece Stanley in the ruck?
Mate, I've got no idea. But I think with Toby, they're being very cautious about him. He's their next 10 years, their next decade. They don't want to wear him out too early, a little bit like what Essendon are hopefully doing with Draper and Goldstein. But I think they want to protect him a little bit. But when the big games are coming, I think he'll be playing.
Told me he's going to be the next captain, Toby.
Next
Conway.
Captain, that is a big call.
Well, gee, that was off air, that.
I'm not as bullish on the Saints as what others are, but I'm bullish on Nazir Wanganeen-Miller. I think he's just about to become their best player. No Jack Sinclair potentially, but halfback is a good position to play when you're playing down at Geelong. I expect him to get big numbers. And Riley Bonner in the off-season been taking a lot of the kick out. So if you're looking for 20-plus, 25-plus, I think these two guys
he
are the go.
He loves speed, doesn't he, yeah. Ross? He loves speed. So Wanganeen-Miller, Henry comes in from Fremantle. Brad Hill's already been there doing it as good as anyone for a long time on the wing. So Wanganeen-Miller should improve. And he was really good, finished high up in their best and fairest last year. And I don't think too many teams put the attention into halfback. So he'll get a stack of the footy.
So you both got the Cats making the 8. Do you have the Saints making
the 8? No, I don't have the Saints in the 8.
They'll be right on it.
Right on it?
Yeah.
Just a 9th or 10th or what?
They'll be 7th, 8th, 9th or 10th.
See, when you join the media, you make calls.
But the thing
don't
is, you don't,
on the fence, yeah.
you don't have to make calls because there's only some teams that can make it, some that can't. I think St Kilda are right on it. That's a call.
All right. Make a call in your same game multi.
Same game multi. I've got Jeremy Cameron for 3 goals plus. I think he's ready to explode again. Tom Stewart, 25 plus. He'll take the kickouts. And he'll get a lot of touches there. Hopefully Max King doesn't kick it straight for him.
I'll throw something at you, though, with Jeremy Cameron. I know he's a masterful player. Callum Wilkie's just about the best defender in the competition. I can't see Callum Wilkie going to anyone else bar Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah.
Does that worry you?
It's a good point,
same mate. Game
no,
multi.
Because Jeremy Cameron's possibly the best roaming forward in the game. So.
Right. So who would you take, Jeremy Cameron or Lance Franklin?
This was last week. Who knows? But this game, I'm taking Jeremy.
Just on Tom Stewart, I mean, you hear some ridiculous things throughout pre-seasons, but the thought they were going to turn Tom Stewart into a midfielder, I know he did it at times last year, is ridiculous. He's the best intercepting defender, ball user across half-back. If he's playing midfield, that is completely, I've broken the glass because it is an emergency. He's not playing midfield, is he?
Oh, I doubt he's playing midfield. The only thing I would say is what's really strong at Geelong is their back line. So if there's one place you're going to rob Peter or Paul to pay the other one,
that's the one you do. I think it's Peter to pay Paul.
I think their back line is good because of Tom Stewart.
Yeah, but Jack Henry's really underrated outside of the Geelong Footy Club. Sam De Koning's great. I really like Kolar Jasny. He is really strong. He holds down, locks down the opposition's best forward. So, yeah, their back line's as strong as anyone in the competition.
The Suns and the Crows is a very good game. I'm bullish on the Crows this year. I think they can play finals. The Suns were very good last week. Where do we see this?
Like the Suns, Brownie, yeah. Particularly because of the injuries at Adelaide. So Taylor Walker, would you believe, is going to miss with a back spasm? Well, it must be the first player in AFL history.
Oh, you're not going to go well, text this early,
have you ever missed a game with a back spasm?
Seriously, I've just come into the media. What is the history?
It's like missing a game with a corky, you know, or the flu.
But what's the history?
There's a long history. You can look it up. But I think that is interesting that he's missing with a back spasm. No Phil thought there. So who's going to kick Adelaide's goals? A lot will ride on Rankin and Rochelli, which we'll get to in a moment. But Gold Coast at home off the back of their opening performance is the way I'd go.
Matty Rowell, Anderson through the midfield. But one player that really come on last year, gets under the side's guards, is Sam Flanders.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see how he's being coached under Stuart Dew, because he really came to life when Stephen King took over as interim coach. So his numbers have spiked. They spent pick 11 on him. I think they think he's going to be a star. They've locked him away, and I reckon Hardwick's going to use him in different ways, because he is that midfield roaming player that has a few different bows to his strings, or strings to his bows.
He loves his little stay away from the names. Wayne Campbell, who works at Gold Coast, said to me at the start of last year, watch this kid, Sam Flanders, going to be a good player. Had some injuries, came back late. You already spoken about Rankin and Rochelli. With no Tex Walker, these guys have to kick goals to win.
Could they be the most dynamic small forward duo in the game? I'm going to say yes by the end of it. Rochelli was down last year. He got caught up in celebrating and the hype of a second-year player, which can happen, but I think he's had a strong pre-season. Down to business for him. Rankin will spend some more time through the midfield against his old side, but those two could combine.
Like a dynamic duo.
Yeah.
Like 80, a Batman and Robin 80, type scenario.
80 goals, I think. So there's Rankin last year.
It's his first four games.
Yeah, so started really strongly. And I think by the end of the year, we're going to be talking about that man as the premier small forward in the game and taken over from Charlie Campbell.
Well, I'm showing you his first four games last year because he hit the ground running. He had a point to prove going home in his first season. But I watched him in the pre-season as well, and he looks fitter than what he did last year. I think he's ready to go. Can Adelaide go well if Tex is out too long with the back spasm?
Oh, it's 70 goals from last year. So is Fogarty going to replace that? Probably not. He's probably going to get you 35-40. Though Thilthorpe, very heavily relying on Rankin and Rochelli in the smalls. I like Adelaide, but I don't like them in this game.
Okay, so what about the Suns or Adelaide? Can you see them both playing finals? They've started well, the Suns.
I've got them both in.
You got them both in? You've got a lot of clubs in your top eight at the moment.
Do I?
Yeah.
Who have I got?
You've got Geelong, you've got Adelaide, you've got Bulldogs. The Gold Coast Suns, you've got the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah.
So there's some top Sydney, four Brisbane, clubs that'll move out
GWS.
The last.
GWS, there's your eight.
Yeah.
Or Collingwood.
Should Adelaide have signed?
I've got a top nine, do I?
Should Adelaide have signed Matthew Nicks by now?
Not sure on that, but I love what Matthew Nicks and what they're doing over there.
If you love what he's doing, you sign him a contract.
Well, not necessarily.
Okay.
Last word from you, Gold Coast and Adelaide, can they play finals this year?
Yes, they can. Gold Coast with a soft draw and Adelaide are ready to go.
Soft draw.
Can they or are they? Are you sitting on the fence again?
They will both play finals.
Okay, both playing finals. Both clubs are playing finals this year, according to these two. That is a massive Saturday of football on In the Back Pocket. Hello and welcome to In the Back Pocket. We've got Isaac Smith on the program this year every week, and he's joined the media and he's quickly figuring out that there's not many mates in the media. So this segment is called No Mates in the Media. This is where we ask you a couple of curly questions because you smile. We like to take that smile off you at times. Okay, so do you know who didn't give you a vote in the Norm Smith Medal last year, the three?
Yeah, I do.
Who?
Jonathan Brown.
Jonathan Brown. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Well, he's a key forward, and to
who
be
did
honest,
give it to?
Key forwards, all they look at is how quick the ball's coming into the forward line, and I'm surprised he gave it to Danger. I'm surprised he knew there was a midfield out there.
Danger was filthy, wasn't he? No, no, really, he brought it up last week, Danger, that he thought he should have won it.
Well, he won the Gary Ayres medal, but he didn't deserve the one on grand final.
Oh, this man made his name tagging. Is there a place in AFL football for taggers?
Yeah, definitely. Tagging went out of vogue, and I genuinely believe they need to bring it back. A couple of teams did a really good job last year, Hawthorn being one of them, on Nick Dacos, and they'll be pretty selective with how they use their tagger. But yeah, you should be going after the opposition's best players, whether that's with a tag or just physically intimidating him. You need to put a presence out on that field, and I think we'll start to see it come back in vogue in 2024.
Hypothetically, you get the call up for your fifth premiership. You're about to run out of the MCG and you get to choose your coach. You've got Alistair Clarkson or Sam Mitchell?
Well, Clarko's got the track record, I guess. He's got four of them. Sam's being very innovative. I'd love to play for both of them.
Right. So it sounds like he's gone for Clarko, doesn't it?
A bit of talk about Max Holmes and his value, that if he left Geelong, he could command $1 million. Is he worth $1 million?
He might possibly be in years to come.
Right now.
Right now he's not worth $1 million. They're big numbers to throw around, and it's a lot of pressure to put on a 20, 21-year-old as well. So he's a good player. He's very much an athlete. He's still learning the game. And for players that move clubs, I'm not sure where he's at, but there's a lot of talk about certain players leaving clubs for big dollars. There's a big pressure that comes with that as well. So you hope that players like that, being a young age, have a really good manager and know their player, because you don't want to let your player hang out to dry.
Sunday afternoon footy is the Demons and the Dogs. If the Dogs get through this, they've got a pretty good draw up until about round eight, so they can start the season well, but you're keen to put someone on notice already.
Well, I like the ruck matchup. Tim English, the reigning All-Australian ruckman, versus Max Gawn, who's got six of them, I think. But I thought Gawn was beaten pretty well by Brody Grundy, as we've discussed, and I thought Sydney went after him pretty well. So if you're the Western Bulldogs, you're okay. Max Gawn may be susceptible when the opposition comes after him physically. Who's going to support him at Melbourne? Do they support him enough? And is Max Gawn going to get through the year as the sole ruckman at Melbourne? Because Josh Jackie's not going to help. Tom Fullerton's not going to help. So it is solely on Max. How are his teammates going to support him?
And we saw Brody Grundy really do his prep. Obviously, they'd trained together the whole year last year, so they knew each other well. And Grundy just took so much space off him at the centre bounce. He ran straight across the line, blocked him out and got the tap. And now, who watches that from other rucks in the competition and uses that as a blueprint? So how does Max overcome that? Obviously, that's his preferred way of competing in the air. If teams start to do that to him, how does he then improve his ruck craft in a centre bounce, which we know is so important in the game, to start to counteract that with what Brody Grundy did to him last
week? Pretty resilient though, isn't he? I feel like Max will get the job done. Like week after week after week, he'll be bruised, he'll be battered. At times he'll be on the ground, you know, holding his back, but I think Max will be okay.
Yeah, I think you're right, and history would say that he will be. But if you're the opposition, you have to test it out, because it's shown a couple of times now it can work.
So that's Max on notice. What about the crowd on notice? So I was listening to Stuart Fox, who runs the MCG on SEM with Gary and Tim, and he was saying that they're expecting 80-odd thousand at Carlton, 80 to 84 at the Collingwood game, but only 75 to Carlton Essendon, but only 40,000 to Melbourne and also the Western Bulldogs. When your two teams are up the top end, the point end, as they've been for a long time, you've got to get more than 40,000. If you're serious about supporting a club, 40,000 more, 50 to 60 need to be.
40,000. So they're the most disappointing supporter group in the land, I think, Melbourne. They're fair weather and they do not turn up. There's heaps of them out there. We know that because in 2021 they came from everywhere. Their president, Kate Roffey, said, "We want to be like Collingwood. We want our crowds to be as passionate as the Collingwood fans." So hopefully they hear that message, because, you know, it's a lot easier as a player to play in front of four houses.
These clubs give up a lot of possession through the midfield. Melbourne give up a lot to the opposition midfield. So you've got Bontempelli, you've got Treloar in there, Sanders, and the man I want to speak about is Tom Liberatore, who had a fantastic season last year. He is now the vice-captain. So 25-plus disposals at $1.51 for Libba. Last year, he went at 80% 25-plus, and I think he averaged about $1.52. I have him in my same game multis every week.
Yeah, and you should. We had deep discussions about him for All-Australian. Like, he's been unlucky not to be named All-Australian. But I just like them changing up their midfield a little bit. Jack McRae's a bit out of favour now. Sanders gives you the youth. Bontempelli's the best player in the game, and Libba's been doing it for a long time now.
This is the most must-watch game of the weekend, I reckon. Melbourne, really poor performance against Sydney.
Not for the Melbourne supporters, is it not?
Well, it's not if they don't rock up. And Western Bulldogs, they've had a lot of talk over summer. Kane believes they've got the second best list in the competition. I just believe this is the must-watch game of the weekend, and I cannot wait to see how it all unfolds.
Let's have a look at the multi, because I think Melbourne get it done. I think they respond. They're a team that is strong, and they respond off the back of a loss. Christian Salem's playing more midfield time, 38%, through the midfield on the weekend with the injuries they've got, and Hugo Hagen's a star, so he'll kick two plus, and that'll get you $7.45.
Christian Salem, I think 38% of centre bounces he attended last week, so obviously he's the replacement going through that midfield. Power up against the Eagles. We obviously don't expect the Eagles to win, but how do you see this playing out?
Well, exactly like that. I think it'd be a pretty comfortable win for Port Adelaide. The Eagles, a long travel, poor pre-season. They just look like they're going to be in for a really difficult year again.
I feel like Port should kick a lot of goals. I think their total goal over and under market, I would be going over. The West Coast Eagles had a lot of goals kicked against them last year. Willie Rioli through that forward half of the ground. He looks fit. He had a good start to the year last year, had a couple of injuries, but I think he's ready to go. I think he could have the breakout of the year that we've probably been waiting for since he's come back.
It'd be good because he's had injury or he's had suspension. He had that long layoff through the drugs ban as well. So if he gets a good run at it, yes. The only question I've got on Port is their key forwards. So Georgiades off the knee, Ollie Lord's injured, he's going to miss 8 to 10 weeks. Dixon is old and banged up, and Todd Marshall is reliable, but he's not your key forward. So I think that's the one area of their game and personnel that I've got the questions over.
Tim Kelly, All-Australian in my same game multi-team last year. So this is what he did. This is the All-Australian same game multi. Tim Kelly was outstanding. So 86% of the time he won over 25%, and he got you $1.52. Has to go into the same game multi. The only thing, does he get tagged? I don't think Willem Drew is going to tag him first up. There's no need to do that. So I'll be throwing Tim Kelly into all my same game multis. The Dockers up against the Lions. You feel like the Lions are going to bounce back. But where is Justin Longmuir at? You put him on notice last week. They have to start the season.
He's on notice. And what sort of game style are they going to play with? Are they going to be boring and slow and predictable? Or are they actually going to take some risks? Because the best teams, with the way they move the ball, take some risks. He's going to have to adapt with that.
Yeah, and we saw last week, obviously, Brisbane will have reviewed that second half and come back, you would hope, with a little bit of hunger, a little bit of fire in the belly to, I guess, prove that they were potentially the better team and just didn't kick straight on Friday night. But yeah, I'm interested to see. The one that I sort of really have looked into, so Caleb Sarong, All-Australian last year, averaged his 30 disposals, had a huge year. The thing that really caught my eye though, he only kicked 4 goals for the year. And we talk about midfielders, they're worth their weight in gold when they can push forward and kick goals. And the other mids in the All-Australian team last year, Bont, Dacos, Petrarca, who does spend more time forward, and Goulden, they kicked 15 to 20 between them all. Everyone higher than 15. And I think that's the point where we really need to see Caleb Sarong's game come up a level, get the 30, but also get into dangerous spots and kick goals
Are we questioning the All-Australian selectors?
Absolutely not.
Well, Caleb, you've been put on notice. You need to kick more goals for Kate. But no worries in my All-Australian same game multi-team, because this is what you do. 86% of the time, 25+. So Caleb Sarong going pretty well in the All-Australian same game multi-team. Quick tip in this one. Can you see Fremantle winning? And if they do, I mean, the Brisbane Lions are under the pump 0-2.
Well, I hope Fremantle play a different brand of football than they played in the pre-season. I love Lachie Neal's comments, not necessarily publicly, but privately if he said that to the group as the captain. I loved his comments during the week, and I think Brisbane come out and win by 10 goals.
Brisbane easily.
Yeah, Brisbane easily as well.
Brisbane easily. Fremantle, do you expect them to play top 8? I mean, they were almost top 4 2 years ago, played really good football. Where has that gone? Quickly before we head to a break, do you see them?
Can
they make the 8?
Too much of a void through the midfield to compete, and question marks over their forward personnel.
What about Jai Amos? Can he have a breakout year?
He kicked 41 last year, so he's good.
It's a good year.
Yeah, so he'd be aiming for 50.
Brisbane for everybody. That has been In the Back Pocket. Plenty more still to come.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.